Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 second on the play clock. Second and nine. Purdy's pass. Caught! Jennings did it! What an effort breaking tackles. Now he's thrown for a touchdown and caught another.
Pressure, the blitz is on, you're in the Super Bowl, down to Mahomes, the defending champs, and you stare down that pressure and you take it and throw a strike to give your team the lead.
Now back to Overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
Back when life was good, Juwan Jennings, 10-yard touchdown pass from Brock Purdy, gave the Niners a lead, 16-13. The extra point was blocked. That was early in the fourth quarter. That point proved huge because this game went to overtime. I will quickly say for everyone chiming in on the YouTube chat powered by the First NorCal Credit Union, by the way, shout out to all our YouTubers. We love all you guys. 1 point looms large. Of course, the Niners would love to have had it, but if it was a four-point lead for the 49ers in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs, they don't settle for a field goal, one of their two field goals down the stretch. They end up going for it, and maybe they get a touchdown, and maybe they win in regulation. It's not a guaranteed win if Jake Moody makes that extra point. I want to put that out there. Is it a good thing that he missed it? No, of course not. Would not have guaranteed a win or a loss. That's all I will say. It hurt, certainly, but the Niners had opportunities elsewhere, and honestly, there was a chance where the Chiefs, they're down four, they go for it on fourth down, they could easily win in regulation when they go for a touchdown. They had 6 seconds left. They could have went for it another touchdown at the end of regulation. They could have won it anyway in regulation. With the touchdown, they decided to kick it with 6 seconds left when they had, I thought, enough time to try to go for it again. But they didn't. Goes to overtime. Niners get a field goal. They get all the way down inside the 10. They can't punch it in. The Chiefs, long drive all the way down the field, and they ultimately win the very end of overtime. Mecole Hardman, a 3-yard pass from Patrick Mahomes, walk-off fashion, Chiefs.
The dagger.
The dagger, and the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions for the third time in the last 5 seasons, second time it's come at the hands of the 49ers.
Calling him MJ?
I mean,
oh my gosh.
Are they wrong?
No, but
I mean, what's going to happen,
that's the worst thing. You have MJ on the rocks twice.
What's going to happen is, and this happened with Tom Brady,
there'll be a stretch where he never wins.
Well, maybe. That's not what I was saying. It happened with MJ as well. There's going to be a group of players, a group of teams, a group of Hall of Famers, a group of legends that are left ringless because they're just going up against the greatest player of all time.
I mean,
the greatest player of all. Breeze won one.
Yeah.
Breeze got the only two.
Flacco has as many as Drew Breeze does. And I like Joe Flacco. It's just
the only reason, Peyton has two is because Von Miller killed Cam Newton. Like,
and the Bears had Rex Grossman.
Exactly. Like, it's not easy to win, which is why when you get there, you got to take advantage. But there's a reality where you got Hall of Famers all over the place, and they're just denied time and time again by Mahomes. I mean, you think of that in the AFC. Like, you think about that as Burrow got there once, but you think of it as Allen, maybe as
Lamar.
Tua, as Lamar, as Herbert, if he starts putting things together with Harbaugh. Like, but it's also on the other side.
Yeah.
Like, the NBA equivalent is John Stockton and Karl Malone never won a championship because they lost to MJ in the finals time and time and time again.
Man.
Charles Barkley losing in the finals. Like, it.
I hate sports.
I'm not saying that's what the Niners are going to be, but
so
like
much.
Sometimes that's the reality of it, and it's frustrating.
You go up. Sorry, go ahead.
You go up against the GOAT.
You're gonna lose the GOAT sometimes.
The Niners defense allowed one touchdown in regulation to the greatest quarterback maybe that ever lived. One touchdown in regulation to potentially the greatest quarterback ever, and it came off a muffed freaking punt. A one-play, 16-yard drive was the only touchdown you allowed in regulation.
Yeah.
The only touchdown you allowed in regulation. A 16-play drive off a muffed punt, and you lose. How do you do that? How? It's a fumble of epic proportions. How do you fumble this bag?
Well, that's the thing is, like, you can blame Kyle Williams for his. Like, just get out of the way. This is Luter's blocking someone, and McLeod's yelling, like, move, whatever he's yelling. Move, get out the way. You can't hear anybody in the moment. Like, that's just a bad bounce. Like, the Chiefs didn't plan that. You hope for it. You don't plan that, though. But going back to your point, the defense had stopped Mahomes again. Again, as my voice cracks because I've definitely lost it after this game.
They had five scoring drives in the first half, four field goals and one touchdown, a 16-yard touchdown drive after a muffed punt.
And the callers have brought it up plenty of times. And again, it's not the only reason why, but because the offensive line was so poor, which, let's be honest here, this is nothing new for this Niners team. 2020, 2019, playing Kansas City again. You have, Weston Richburg and Daniel Kilgore and Mike Person playing right guard, who Chris Jones eats him alive that entire game. In this game, it's better. Like, the offensive line is better than that one was in 2019-2020. I think Brendel is a fine center. He was a second-team All-Pro last year. Trent's one of the greatest left tackles, if not the greatest left tackle of all time. Was it his best game? No. It wasn't his worst game by any means. He wasn't atrocious. Aaron Banks was okay. Feliciano was fine. Like, the offensive line wasn't great. Was it good enough? Yes. That's the killer here, is that the Niners players were good enough. The execution wasn't. The coaching via Kyle Shanahan wasn't. And it's so easy to blame coaching. We have no idea what the play calls are, what the routes are supposed to be, this, that, and the other. But to the caller's point again, George Kittle being the inline tight end, being forced to stay in to block, to give aid, which isn't uncommon on a handful of plays. How much does Kelce actually block edge rushers?
Like, never. Maybe he'll chip when he goes out on a route,
right.
But that's it.
Kittle is, like he was in 2019-2020, darn near regulated to the backfield. Or relegated, excuse me, to the backfield. Hey, Kittle, help McKivitz. Hey, Kittle, help Trent. Is Kittle Kelce running routes? No. He's close to it, though. Close enough to make an impact. George Kittle in this game had two catches for 4 yards on three targets. One of his plays did get called back as a penalty.
And one of his catches was the huge 4th-and-3 conversion.
Right. So there was impact there. But when, and if you told me, in the biggest game of the year, and this is similar to 2019-2020, biggest game of the year, Deebo Samuel and George Kittle would touch the ball for a total of 8 times. Between them, 8 times for less than 60 yards, I would have said, there's no way that happens. There's no way Kyle Shanahan lets his 2 all-pro tight end and receiver touch the ball less than 10 times.
Yeah, combined 45 total yards.
Like, come on. And it's not just that. But part of it is that. There's some design plays that don't work. Both those guys get hurt. But the whole talk of the town was, you have Purdy, game manager, quote-unquote. He has all these stars. They didn't utilize their stars today. The best player was Juwan Jennings and maybe Christian McCaffrey. I think I lean Juwan, though. He didn't fumble. He had 2 touchdowns. We love 3rd and Juwan. 3rd and Juwan, for as great as he is, should not be your best player on the field in the Super Bowl.
He also had a huge 3rd down conversion of the final drive in regulation.
Like, come on. I get guys are hurt and they're in and out. I understand that. No one's knocking Kyle for that. But McLeod and Jennings should not have as big of or bigger of an impact than Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, which Kittle played 3.5 quarters before he got hurt. He played the majority of the game. Debo, in and out, in and out. I get that. You got to give your guys the ball. They're who got you here. And you didn't use them. It's frustrating. It honestly makes me angry. I'm not going to kick walls and playing it and whatever, but like, it makes me want to shake out my hair and say, damn you, Kyle. You're wasting it.
It's very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. And I'm not, and it's going to take forever to get over this one. And I feel bad for Kyle Shanahan, too. We spent a lot of time talking about the blame he deserves for this, and he deserves some blame. He's not going to be fired. I think he's probably right decision. He should be the Niners head coach moving forward. But
he'll be in Cabo in 5 weeks forgetting about it.
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's fair. But Kyle Shanahan now is going to have to live with all he does is blow 10-point leads in big games.
He's Andy Reid again. With the Eagles.
He just blows big 10-point leads in both Super Bowls. He was the head coach and they lost. You can talk about the OC in Atlanta, whatever you want. Blew a 10-point lead 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game in the fourth quarter against the Rams. Like that, fair or not, that's what he's going to be known as. And it's going to follow him around forever. And as we talked about, who knows if this team ever gets back there again. That might be the way Kyle Shanahan is remembered in NFL history. And for that, I feel terrible for him. But he did this one to himself.
Think of Mike Tomlin. Never had a losing season. Never. He's won championship. One Super Bowl, I believe. It was Cowher, then it was Tomlin.
Yep, he has one.
And I guarantee you, Pittsburgh fans, for as great as Mike Tomlin is, I love Mike Tomlin. I think he's one of the greatest coaches in the last 20 years. He's awesome. Like, if you told me who's the person you want to play under, Mike Tomlin's up there. He's in that conversation. So is Kyle Shanahan. But just like Steelers fans who are like, we haven't won a playoff game in 5 years, 6 years. Like, my goodness. They're sick of it, and they love Mike Tomlin. They're not going to fire Tomlin, but they're in a position to make changes. Their roster isn't as good. Niners don't have many changes, one, to even make, and they also don't have the ability to actually make the changes they might have to have and need.
Yeah. All right, we got some Shanahan to get to. We will hear what Kyle Shanahan says about the injury report, which includes Dre Greenlaw. If you haven't heard yet, it is officially a torn Achilles. We will hear that from Shanahan. Also, he talked about why he took the ball first in overtime. We'll get that to you in a little bit. But let's go back out to the phone. The phone lines up first is Bob in San Francisco. Bob, what's up? You're on overtime here on 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, very disappointing, but I want to shout out Niners. It was a great season. We got all the way here. You know, the glass is 99% full. to some of the other callers' points, they all made valid points, you know, and including you guys as well. But I think statistically, if you look at Kansas City, for the last 5 years, they were in the Super Bowl. With the 49ers, four of the last 5 years, we were an NFC Championship game. And the two times we did go to the Super Bowl, well, these guys beat us, right? Mahomes. So, yeah, I think there's coaching flaws maybe with some play calls, like, you know, three consecutive possessions with passing instead of a run here and there, you know. So and then at the end of the game, why not, you know, if your defense is gassed, right, we didn't stop them on the last, you know, to get to the overtime, why not just spread like a jet sweep, or, you know, whatever schematics we can come up with. They should have just gone four plays because you got them down on the goal line. Right? And then let your defense at them. So all the time, Mr. Shanahan kept saying he was going to go for it. And at the most crucial time, he didn't go for it. He kicked the field goal, which makes sense because that's classic coaching, right? But still, it's like, what do you got to lose? All you got is to win the game. And then I think we didn't have Brock Purdy for a lot of those other games, you know? So I think, you know, the appearances, like with Garoppolo. Okay, so now we got Brock Purdy. This is his second real year. So the sky's the limit. I don't see any reason why we can't get back to the Super Bowl. Anyway, it's just disappointing.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It's very disappointing, Bob. While I think there's a lot we can point at in terms of some play calls here and there, we talked a lot about right out of the beginning of the third quarter, out of halftime, pass, 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 first two drives. terrible. What's going on there? You can point to some things at the end of regulation when you could have killed more time off the clock. You could have ran it on 3rd and 5, maybe thinking that you could be going for it on 4th and 1, make it an easy field goal, whatever. Same thing down at the goal line in overtime. You could have handled that a little bit differently. I will say, to our caller's point, Bob, I was shocked Kyle Shanahan went for it 4th and 3 from the 15-yard line.
Yeah.
That's an easy field goal. You expect Jake Moody to make it. You are down by 3 early in the fourth quarter. He went for it.
Yeah.
That's a decision that he normally doesn't make, and I honestly wasn't sure it was the right one.
I was thinking, Dan Campbell, let's risk it for the biscuit.
I was thinking maybe take the points, tie this game up. Your defense has been great. They'll get you a stop. You get the ball back, and you go down and win. He went for it. It paid off. He got a touchdown. So yeah. I credit Kyle for that.
Yeah.
He does not make that decision 4 years ago.
No.
He does not. Not even close. He didn't make that decision 2 weeks ago. He made it this time. It paid off. The Niners got down, and they got into the end zone. Shout out to Juwan Jennings. 10 yards out, broke a tackle. The Niners have the lead again. But that's a moment. And we got to, you know, we paint with a broad brush a lot of times. It's obviously a little more nuanced. And there's moments where you credit Kyle. There's moments where you say, that was a good call. Kyle, kudos. The vast majority of this, though, is... I don't, you can't make this make sense to me.
You know, it's when the same thing continues to happen, and different games, different situations, different opponents call for different play calls, different schemes, different plays. Like, every game is so nuanced. This game, no different, right? But I feel like I've been screaming the same thing at the TV for 5 years. And no, do I coach football? No. Have I ever played in the NFL? No, I haven't. And maybe guys like Lorenzo Neal can dissect more stuff for us when he's on, maybe a couple of days, if he ever is on, right? Guys who played in the league for a decade, Tony Romo can tell us, and he was telling us, I don't understand why Kyle's not running the football. He was saying, I'd run here. I'd run here. I continue to run the ball here. And Kyle was like, nah. You know what, Tony? You're a Cowboy quarterback. I don't care.
Tony Romo's famous for doing the play before play, but that's not when he's calling Kyle Shanahan games, because he doesn't know what the hell Kyle Shanahan's going to do.
That's a great point. Because
I'd run the ball here, Jim.
And Jim's like, me too. And Kyle's,
here's a deep ball to Brandon.
And it's so funny because they call the trick play for Juwan, right? They get a touchdown, and everyone at the studio, on Twitter, on X, is like, Kyle's in his bag. Oh my goodness. Like, if Kyle's calling this stuff, pulling this stuff out, this is going to be a long game for KC. And in that first half, it felt like you're just waiting for the bow to break. It's only a matter of time before San Francisco gets a few touchdowns, they pull away, and again, they had those chances. Kansas City is the most well-coached team in the entire league. They are the most battle-tested. They are the most proven. Just as if in the first half, or just like the first half, you're waiting for the bow to break for the offense, who was seemingly gaining 8 yards a play, 11 yards a play in the first couple of drives prior to the CMC fumble. You're waiting. It's going to come eventually, but in the same breath, you're waiting for Mahomes to Mahomes. And Mahomes didn't become Mahomes until overtime, and he crushed you. 75 yards, 69 by himself.
Over like 7 minutes.
And, yeah, you lose a game like this, and you can dissect every single play. This guy missed a block here, and this guy missed a block there, and it led to this and led to that.
And there was a hole, then offside.
Right.
And
there was. San Francisco, for a large portion of this game, they were the only thing in their way, was themselves. And that's who they've been all year long. They knew. Like, sitting back, taking a bird's eye view, this game is no different as the whole season's been, right? Kyle kind of psyching himself out, how he's been for the last 4 or 5 years. This team particularly getting in their own way. Penalties, right? Trent, a handful in a row. The defense wasn't in their own way, but the offense was in their own way. Injuries, you can't help those, but this game was no different. The difference is you got in your own way in the biggest moments, in the biggest game. And you would like to think, in the Super Bowl of all places, you'll find a way to not be your own worst enemy. In San Francisco, again, Kyle Shanahan, again, found a way to be his own worst enemy. And it sucks.
Yeah.
Because there's 53 guys, plus the practice squad, plus the coaches, all sitting back saying, man, we almost had him. And that's been the mantra of the Shanahan era. Well, we almost got him. There's always next year. And yeah, you have Purdy. Maybe he get back next year. Maybe everyone gets hurt. And you hope not. I'm not praying that. I don't want that. I want this team to win. This game, you had to play like there's no tomorrow. Because there isn't a tomorrow.
And for majority of the players, for the majority of the game, they did. And it's all you can ask for from the players.
And
it's all you can ask for from the players.
I hate questioning it, but I do wonder, did Kyle? I think he tried. I just don't think it worked.
It did not work. It did not work, and it hasn't worked for Kyle at this stage over and over and over again. All right. We do have Kyle Shanahan asked about getting away from the run game. I want to make sure to play that for you guys, and we will. But let's run through a couple of callers here before we hit a break. I know you guys have been holding on for a while. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Tony. Tony's up next. Tony's in the city. Tony, I know you want to talk about coaching. What do you got, man?
Hey, you know, I'm really excited for the Niners. I think they did a really good job. You know, based on how they played in the first two games in the playoffs, I really didn't think, well, we stood a chance at all against playing against Kansas City. I think Kansas City is the better team. The better team won, and I think we did a great job making them have to fight for it. I think if Dre Greenlaw stayed in that game, we would have had a much better chance of winning. And I knew that when it came to playing this game, we were going to have to be mistake-free. You know, you leave Dre Greenlaw stays in the game, or we don't have that that mistake, that fumble return, then we win. We took a fantastic Kansas City game, a team down to the wire into the end of overtime. I think they did a great job. I think we have a great future. I don't think Kyle Shanahan did a bad job. I think the team looked great.
Appreciate the call, Tony. I mean, I think that, as we talked about earlier, I think the team played their absolute heart out. I mean, it got to a point in overtime where I'm like, hey, Christian, I'm sorry, and this might drive you into the ground. Like, maybe you need the whole offseason to recover, but you're our bell cow, man. We're going to give this to you over and over and over. Like, and you could tell he gave everything that he had. And it would be maybe, I don't know if it would be more or less frustrating, but like the effort against Detroit in the first half, like just terrible. Terrible, right?
Yeah.
The effort was amazing today.
It was there.
It was amazing.
All game.
It was amazing.
You can tell even in overtime as Mahomes is marching on them.
I can't imagine how exhausted they are.
Like, this is not, like, we're not criticizing the drive, the desire. No one's questioning that ever. This team, for all the questions we had of, you know, what you put on film in that first half against Detroit, no one cares now.
Yeah.
What those guys did, every single one of them, even Luter, who the ball hits his foot, McLeod fumbles the ball, McCaffrey fumbles the ball, for people criticizing the O-line, the effort was there. They came out with a purpose and intention and a drive to execute and win this game, and they should have. They were the better team. I'll go that far. The Niners were the better team for 3.5 quarters today.
For the majority of the game, I agree.
And again,
But the Chiefs were better at taking advantage of the opportunities the opponent gave them.
And that's been a big theme this year for the Niners, especially of late in the playoffs and late down the stretch of the games and season. But, like, kudos to KC. You are, once again, Super Bowl champions. I just wish it wasn't because you victimized us.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't really said it enough. They do deserve a ton of credit. Yeah, I mean,
they fought just as hard.
That's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, good for them.
With that offense, with that core of wide receivers winning
a
Super
Bowl. The
lack
of weapons.
My God, what a job by Kansas City.
And Isaiah Pacheco is awesome. Their O-line is awesome. Like, a lot of those guys deserve to call themselves a champion. Now, you wish it wasn't
champion,
because Kelce and
champion.
Mahomes and those guys, and you wish, hey, maybe you beat Tom in 2020 and not us now, right? But it just stinks.
It stinks. All right, we got to hit a break. We're going to get to Shanahan talking about moving away from the run game. There's other Shanahan to get to as well, and we got a lot of callers to get to. Let's see. We got Kels, Robert, Dave, a number of you guys. You're coming up on the other side as overtime continues. Grandy and Sterling with you as we sort through another heartbreaking Niners loss on the biggest stage.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Football 25-22, Kansas City wins. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
Fumble, and it's a recovery by Kansas City.
You knew something was happening there. You just felt it.
I just wasn't sure what it was.
Nostradamus again. Oh my gosh, what a huge, huge play right there.
Now back to overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
And that was one of the handful of mistakes the Niners made in this game. The Chiefs took advantage of just about every single one of them. They turned that one into a touchdown, and that was when the game kind of turned in the second half. Niners would fight back. They would take a lead in the final couple minutes of regulation, but the Chiefs would go down. They'd get on the doorstep of the end zone. The defense held strong, and they forced a field goal to force overtime. But they ultimately fall short in overtime, and they lose in the Super Bowl again to the Kansas City Chiefs. Final score once again, 25-22. Welcome back to Overtime on 95.7. The game that call you just heard was a Jim Nantz, Tony Romo on CBS. Grandy and Sterling with you. We're sorting through our emotions. We're going to hear from Kyle Shanahan in a moment, but as promised, we got to go out to the phone lines. I know Rodney has been hanging on for a while. We appreciate that, Rodney, out in Tennessee. Rodney, what's up? You're on Overtime. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Oak Ridge, Tennessee, baby. Home of T. Higgins. Look, I'm not our big-time players made some big-time mistakes, right?
Yeah, Rodney, go ahead. What do you got?
Oh, okay. I thought I lost y'all. Look, I'm a Niner to the day I die. I love that we were in the Super Bowl, period. But the Chiefs, I mean, the Taylor Swift, stuff like that, I just want to tell everybody to keep their head up.
Yeah, Rodney, I mean, I appreciate the...
It's really, really hard.
It's really difficult.
It's not as easy. And
shout out to Tennessee, though. Juwan Jennings, a volunteer.
It's the home of T. Higgins.
Yeah, first Tennessee volunteer to throw for a touchdown in the Super Bowl since Peyton Manning.
Wow.
How about that?
That's cool. I wish it counted. Well, I wish it actually mattered.
It counted, but
I mean, you
didn't lead
point.
To a win.
Man.
I've got a statistic for you.
Okay.
That might frustrate you.
I was hoping it was one of those. Well, Brock Purdy actually finished as, you know, upwards of Tom Brady and Kurt Warner.
This was the 48th game where Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Debo Samuel all played together. It's the third time they've combined for fewer than 100 scrimmage yards. The other two instances were last year's NFC Championship game when Purdy got hurt and then Josh Johnson got hurt. You didn't have a quarterback, so that's an excusable
one. That
one
makes sense.
And then this year's game against the Browns where Debo Samuel got hurt and you were playing in the rain. Those are the today's game, last year's NFC Championship game, this year against the Browns. The only time when Ayuk, Kittle, and Debo have all played in a game together. 48 times. Three of those 48, they've gone under 100 scrimmage yards, and you can find reasons why in the other two. You didn't do it in the Super Bowl, and Kittle was in and out, Debo was in and out, I get it.
Yeah.
But you get under 100 from those three combined.
You're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
And they did.
And they darn near won, even despite that.
So, like, that's the thing. I know some callers have said, you know, our big-time players made some big-time mistakes. That's not just it. Your big-time players didn't make any plays at all. Like, Debo was a non-impactful player this entire game. And again, the injuries are there. Okay, whatever. But we can forgive that to a certain extent. He wasn't hurt to begin the game, though, was he?
He had 11 targets. Three of them turned into catches.
And there were a handful of plays that were kind of close to being out of reach, but some of them hit his hands. He just didn't catch them. Purdy did miss him a handful of times, so it's not just on them again. Kittle, it was almost as if George Kittle wasn't even playing this game in the passing game. It was almost as if it was a backup tight end, Charlie Warner, the entire game. Now, you can probably go through tape and say, wow, Kittle had an amazing block on this play and that play. And those plays matter. The issue is you have literally three all-pro players that did nothing. Whereas Travis Kelce in this game, and again, the first half, one catch, 1 yard. In the second half, which...
And overtime.
At some point, you expect him to get going. So the final three quarters, essentially, 8 catches... 92 yards.
And a bunch of big ones to on that final drive to force overtime in regulation and then the touchdown drive in overtime.
Isn't it weird how head coaches can design plays for the opposition's best player, even though the defense knows they're going to target him? Isn't that weird how they can still get the ball in his hands?
Yeah,
and Mahomes plays a factor, but it's almost like, hey, Kyle, you should do that as well.
Kelce was wide open at
like,
times.
Like, Jesus! If Kelce's great, Mahomes is great, Reed's phenomenal, they're amazing. Credit to them.
You got to get the ball to your dudes. You got to get the ball to your dudes.
Like,
absolutely. Under 100 combined yards from scrimmage for Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle. Debo not an all-pro this year, but has been an all-pro in the past. Those are all three all-pro caliber players. They combined for fewer than 100 yards from scrimmage in this game. And you played five full quarters.
We'll take it further.
You played five full quarters in this game. Five. You played an extra 15%, an extra 25% of football. An extra 25, and under 100.
That's the noise that I want to make because
How does this make sense? It should not have happened.
Mecole Hardman and Justin Watson had more receiving yards than George Kittle and Debo Samuel combined. Rashee Rice.
Justin Watson
player.
Had more receiving yards than every Niner not named Christian McCaffrey. They're freaking running back.
And the Chiefs are a great pass defense. No one is discounting them. But the Niners' pass defense was good. Mostly all year. Their run defense was stellar, meaning it makes everyone better. The Niners defense looked like the better defense on the field today. They just did. And they were for 3.5 quarters. And somehow in the fifth quarter, you can say, or the fourth quarter with 10 minutes left in the last overtime segment, they found a way. And you want to know why? Because they fed Travis Kelce.
Yeah, they said
San
enough
Francisco
is enough.
San Francisco was feeding Juwan Jennings.
They said enough is enough. We're getting the ball to our stud, and we are. If it's not going to work, we're going to lose going down with the ship. You know what?
Yeah.
But, hey,
Dan Campbell style.
In the past. It's worked every single time we've tried it. We're going to try it again. If we got to force it in there, we're going to force it in there.
So this is actually it's a really good point because Dan Campbell, 2 weeks ago, went down with the ship, right?
Admirably.
We're going forward on fourth down. That's who we've been all year. This is who we are. We're going for it on fourth down. They lost the game. Did it cost them? Maybe. Maybe it didn't. Who knows? But they went down as the ship sank, saying, oh, captain, my captain.
Doing what they do.
The Chiefs tonight won. They didn't go down. They won.
Doing what they do.
Doing what they do. Kyle Shanahan lost, not doing what he does. I don't know if that last play that they didn't get to Juwan Jennings, the fade in the end zone, I have no idea if that was the design for it. I'm sure it was. Purdy, I'm sure, went to his first read there. Why is it this first design play for Juwan? And it's not to knock Juwan. Maybe he got a good look. I don't know. I haven't watched the play more than once. I get there was a blitz. Someone's got to pick it up. Someone's got to guard Chris Jones. If you want to have Kittle be the inline tight end the entire game, why not there? Why not put Juszczyk in the backfield? Give Purdy a chance to actually make the pass. It just doesn't make sense. Like, if everything is working for you for 18 weeks and 2 playoff games, and you're like, wow, We're going to use that. They literally named Christian McCaffrey Offensive Player of the Year, what, 2 days ago? And Kyle was like, I'm not going to use that guy. You know what? I'm going to give it to McLeod and Mitchell and Juwan Jennings, who are fine players. We like them. I'm happy they're on their team. But Christian McCaffrey walks on stage to accept the literal best offensive player that's not a quarterback in the entire NFL award and is like, wow, this is awesome. What an achievement. 23 touchdowns. And Kyle's like, you know what? Second half, CMC's kind of not my thing.
And don't let the 30 total touches fool
no.
you.
Don't. No.
The only reason he got all of those touches at the end was because you didn't use him earlier. If you used him earlier, you win this game. You don't need those touches from him later.
Purdy threw it 38 times.
You could have given him the same number of touches, 30 touches, but if you just pick your spot differently and you use him at different times, this game does not go to overtime. You win in regulation. You do not need to run McCaffrey into the ground if you just space him out a little bit differently through regulation. It's a mess. It's a mess, and it's going to take forever to sort through this one. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. Grandy and Sterling with you. Up next is Kells out of North Carolina. Kells, what's up? You're on Overtime. How you doing, Kells?
What's good, guys? Good point about the field goal. I was thinking that same thing about the missed field goal and them going to get a touchdown if that didn't happen. But anyways, this is my point here. We have a black cat on the sideline, I feel. Unfortunately, that black cat is Kyle. People keep saying that all these different things that we need to change and do differently. There's nothing we need to change. We just need to get better play calling in the most important situations. What I don't get, Mike Singletary had a saying, we are not a charity. We cannot give them the game. Can't do it. I want winners. Kyle Shanahan is not a winner, unfortunately. He's like half Neanderthal, half amazing, and we don't know which one we're going to get at which point. I honestly think he goes to bed at night like before big games and dreams about these amazing pass plays that he's going to run during the game. And in the least opportune moments, like I guess when we get a lead, he feels comfortable, you know, pulling those out. But we don't have the personnel to run these plays all the time. And then we get behind and he does stuff like run six passes in a row. My main reason for calling was I knew the game was over when Kyle didn't read the room in overtime. McCaffrey was out there spent. He was dog tired. And I think we got to like the 4-yard line, whatever it was. Debo was fresh. I think Debo was kind of checking out a little bit. He was like, okay, when am I going to get the ball? That was a perfect time to hit him with an end around or a sweep or something like that with Debo. I think he even went in motion that way. I was like, okay, we're going to give it to Debo. He's going to use his momentum to get in the end zone or at least get close, and maybe we can go for it on fourth. Gave it right back to McCaffrey when he barely could even walk to the play before. And he got stuffed, and we ended up having to kick it. Like, stuff like that just infuriates me. I mean, that's why Mahomes is considered the GOAT, because he had the fortunate opportunity of having to go up against Kyle Shanahan twice in two of those games, and Kyle wet the bed both times. I mean, I love Kyle. I don't think we can get rid of him. And this is that dichotomy of, like, which Kyle are we going to get? I don't know what it is. At this point, it's disrespectful to the fan base and to the people on the guys on the team, because he knows what's at stake. He knows that the legacy and the standard of this franchise is. And he hasn't learned yet. When is he going to learn? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you, Kel. I feel you. And thanks for the call. It's a really difficult conversation because on one hand, you have the guy, along with John Lynch, who literally turned your franchise around.
Yeah.
You were like one of the jokes of the league.
They won two games.
When Kyle Shanahan came in. And Kyle, as was reported in the lead up to the Super Bowl, literally told Jed York, when interviewing for the head coaching job, this is one of the worst rosters, talent-wise, I've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward a few years, and he gets you to the playoffs, and you go to the Super Bowl, and you lose. All right. Tough one. You blew a 10-point lead in the fourth.
Maybe you're a year ahead of schedule.
Maybe. We'll get back there. Then injuries happen. And then you fall apart in the NFC Championship game against the Rams. And then you get injured. You draft Trey Lance, and that goes to hell. And you get back here again. You're all right, this is the time. It doesn't happen. Like, this is legitimately the conversation about Andy Reid with the Eagles.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
And I am not up here saying I think the Niners should fire Kyle Shanahan. And I know a lot of Niner fans will disagree and say, no, we're not going to win the big one with this guy. If you feel that way, why keep him around?
Yeah.
The second Kyle Shanahan hits the open market, he goes like 28 other places.
And do you risk being Philadelphia? Losing Reed.
Who's now won three championships.
And Philadelphia has won since Reed has left, and they were in one last year too, right? But I think if you asked them, they'd want Andy Reid back.
Like, how many coaching positions, how many teams out there would not fire the guy they currently have if they thought they had a legitimate chance to hire Kyle Shanahan?
Take it further. Patriots would have fired Belichick last year if they could have had Kyle.
Yep.
Like, easily.
There's a chance that Andy Reid retires and the Chiefs would hire Kyle Shanahan.
Oh my, could you imagine that? I mean, they probably lose in the Super Bowl, but... But still.
Go to the AFC,
Kyle. Maybe they'll lose to us. That would be great.
Go to the AFC, Kyle. Get to the Super Bowl. We'll meet you there.
Yeah. And then we'll actually win this time. But...
Like, did the Eagles, when firing Andy Reid, did they think, you're a bad football coach?
No.
No, of course not. Now, he had a couple of down years. They were 8-8, and then they were 4-12, and then they fired him. If Shanahan has a 4-12 year...
Oh.
I mean...
Put it this way.
The conversation is the same. Do we think this guy's bad? Is he going to get hired elsewhere? No, he's not bad. Yes, he's going to get hired elsewhere.
Right,
like,
right.
It's the same conversation. Do the Niners have more patience than the Eagles had? I don't know. The Niners are a pretty damn proud franchise.
Jed York is not going back to hoping he can find a head coach.
No, I'm right. I mean, you're right. I'm with you.
You are right, too.
I am with you.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid was with Philadelphia from 99 to 2012.
Yeah.
Went to one Super Bowl, lost in the NFC Championship game a ton of times, lost in the division round, wild card round.
Like, just ask this. Is it worth losing two Super Bowls with Kyle, losing a handful of gut-wrenching NFC Championship games to the Rams in Philadelphia, and watching rivals or other teams that you play before like Kansas City win time and time again, and fire him, risk losing him, having him go elsewhere and win, or would you suffer every loss for, I don't know, what, 99 to 2012, what is that, 13 years? Would you suffer 12 years of gut-wrenching losses if it meant getting one Super Bowl? It's already been 30. Like, right now, San Francisco cannot win a Super Bowl until a 30-year time span occurs. 95, 2025.
Yep. At the earliest.
Like, that's...
It'll be 30 years.
It's
going to
be 30
Super
years.
Bowls.
I'll be 28 years old. I don't want to fire Kyle. Firing Kyle, I think, would be dumb. But I do think there is a real conversation being had amongst the fan base and others saying, Kyle, you're really good. We don't want to lose you. In fact, we actually like you, Kyle, a lot. But
gave him an extension the last offseason. Announced it at the very beginning of the regular season.
I can guarantee you, and I'm not saying I feel this way, I can guarantee you there are some people saying that shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have extended Kyle Shanahan. Which, I mean, we got to the Super Bowl.
This team was
so
good.
30 teams can't say that.
This team was so good. This was the opportunity. It makes it.
The Lions are going to be better. Philadelphia might be back. You might be back as well. No one's saying San Francisco won't get back next year. This team is getting older. Injuries pile up. You may have already lost your linebacker next to Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, for all of next season. Who knows? You may already have a potential catastrophic hole over the middle of your defense, and next year hasn't even started yet. You're already one step behind.
If you miss it, Dre Greenlaw tore his Achilles, and I don't want to talk down to Dre Greenlaw and his ability to heal, but that generally is at least a year.
He may never be the same ever. Like, I'm wearing his jersey. I love Dre Greenlaw.
He was so good in the first quarter, too. Oh, my God.
He's the Debo of the
defense. He was everywhere.
And
he was hyped up after every time he'd make a hit. Oh, my God. He'd jump up. He'd bounce around. He'd be screaming at Fred, screaming at Gibson, screaming at Bosa.
Well, take Deshaun. This may be Gibson's last game ever. He came back to play across from Talanoa because Hufanga revitalized his love of football. He said, hey, give me one more year of your career. He said, okay, I will. And then they have Jair Brown there. He got a pick today. I'm not worried about losing Gibson because the replacement's already there. But you feel for him. This was his year.
It's just the heartbreak.
He was great, man, in this game.
It's just the heartbreak. It's the damn heartbreak. All right, back to the phones we go as overtime continues on 95.7 The Game. Grandy and Sterling with you. Up next is Dave. Dave's in San Francisco. Dave, I know you want to talk about Kyle Shanahan. What's on your mind?
No disrespect against Kyle. Kudos to the Chiefs. Kansas City, they did a good job. Niners are great. They made it to overtime in the Super Bowl. But when the rubber meets the road, you got to execute. Now, if you equate the NFL to a war, region against region, team against team in the final battle of the Super Bowl, if you can't pull the trigger after two times, if the Niners want to hold that Lombardi trophy in their hands, then you know what John Lynch needs to do. But if you want to just continue getting to the playoffs and not winning the Super Bowl, fine, keep it the status quo. My thought is, like a lot of Niner fans right now, it's like we should have won that game. So at the end of the day, it's a brutal game, but the coaching staff is to blame. And not all of the coaching staff, but that's all I got to say. I'm just kind of like really frustrated tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. I think you speak for all Niner fans. The frustration levels, it's at an all-time high. It's at an all-time high.
They keep replaying the final score, touchdown to Mecole Hardman on TV. And seeing that play live, we all put our head down and just said, we have a job to do. Let's get in the studio. Watching it over and over and over and over, it's haunting. Just like the Crabtree fade was, the Tart drop pick. Like, it feels like
the Tyreek Hill third and 15.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Garoppolo overthrow to Emmanuel Sanders. The Richard Sherman deflect interception.
It feels like this franchise, or at least under, in my lifetime, and yours as well, Grandy, 27 years, and more so the past, decade and a half, has been haunted by just the one play of, I never want to watch that game again. Every time that highlight's played on TV or on Twitter or on X or on Instagram, it makes you cower and go, oh my god.
Like, tomorrow we're going to see commercials for, like, buy the official Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl 58 DVD, commemorative DVD, where Mecole Hardman scored the game. You have to see that highlight for years and years and years. And when Patrick Mahomes is eventually inducted into the Hall of Fame, you're gonna see at least two highlights of him stealing a Lombardi away from the Niners.
And, you know,
it's going to live forever in Niner fans' minds. As you're right, it just another one of those moments. Add to the pile of pain. Like, the first half of our lives as Niner fans was, frankly, embarrassing. They were terrible. They were bad. They were ugly. They were disgusting. They were some of the worst football, like, in America. But for the most part, the last, 12 years, 13 years, there was a lull in between, but they've been pretty darn good.
Good old Jimmy Tomsula.
They've been to what? Since Harbaugh came, they've been to 6 NFC Championship games and 3 Super Bowls.
With, like, two different regimes.
Few other teams in the NFL that can say that. Over that span, 6 conference title games and 3 Super Bowls.
Like,
3-3 in conference title games and 0-3 in the Super Bowl.
I hate saying this.
There's no other franchise over that time period that has dealt with disappointment at this level more than the 49ers. And frankly, I am sick of it. I am over it. I don't want this to ever happen again. I never thought I would ever say that anything was worse than 4 years ago. Anything was worse than Baltimore in New Orleans in 2012. Anything was worse than losing in Seattle in the NFC Championship game. But somehow they found a way to make a new one even worse than all of that.
It feels like they just escalate. Everyone is worse than the next.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know what 2028 has in store.
And it's like, where is the tipping point? When do things start going in our favor? And, you know, tonight, for, again, a large portion of it, felt like it was going in our favor. And maybe it is Brock Purdy. Maybe he comes back next year and is even better. Maybe he wins an MVP. Like, there's reasons to be excited for next season. You have CMC back. You have Purdy back. You have Debo still. You have Kittle. Trent's still there. Like, this roster is mainly intact. There are some big pieces that may or may not come back, but It's all there for the most part. You even have Steve Wilks back, most likely. You even have Kyle Shanahan back. Like, you have the majority of your pieces back. Every reason to have faith, hence the faithful, that they'll make a run next year. And they easily could. Well, I'll rephrase that. They could. They can. It's an option for their season. But there's no promise in any of that. They could never go back for 30 years. And I would say, yep, that's how hard it is to win in the National Football League. And it's the truth. They haven't won in 30 years, or 29 now. They may not win in 29 more. They could. They might not.
They might not.
You have to capitalize on these moments.
And the Niners have not done that. They have been terrible at doing that. They have not capitalized on these moments since 1995. All right, time for a quick break. First, though, a shout-out to Oscar the Mighty, a super chat on YouTube, $9.99. Oscar says, why did Kyle kick the field goal in overtime? Why give the Chiefs a chance to breathe? This game was soul-crushing because we were so damn close. What do we have to do to get over the damn hump? Still, go Niners. Oscar, appreciate the optimism there at the end. I thought Kyle might think about going for it, going for the touchdown. You're down there inside the 10-yard line in overtime. A touchdown guarantees you that at the worst, I guess not necessarily the Chiefs could go for two, but it certainly increases your chance of winning if you go in for six. Kyle went for it on fourth earlier, turned into a touchdown. Maybe he'd go for it again, but he did not, settled for the 3 points. All right, time for a break here on Overtime. When we come back, more of your calls. We got to hear from Shanahan, a ton more to get into. We're just getting started. OT continues next on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.